My dream was to play in the NBA and live my authentic life as a proud gay man.
As the first lesbian speaker of any state house in our nation.
As a black man, as a gay man, and as a man living with HIV.
I am a proud transgender American.
We are Muslim. We are Jewish. We are black, white, and Latino.
Don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great. That somehow we need to make it great again.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Australia's government leaders push a controversial marriage equality plebiscite. The U.S. Civil Rights Act fails an Indiana lesbian and lavender-leaning Democrats party in Philadelphia. Those stories and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Dyer V.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending July 30th, 2016. Australia's Attorney General said this week that the only way the issue of civil marriage equality will be resolved is through a public vote or plebiscite. George Brandis announced that the Electoral Commission would soon begin to consider the timing of the plebiscite. Brandis said he hoped it would be held before the end of the year. Picking up the mantle of his steadfastly homophobic predecessor, Tony Abbott, newly re-elected Liberal Party Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has pushed for the plebiscite rather than allowing a conscience vote of his coalition government MPs on a civil marriage equality bill in Parliament. And he differed with his Attorney General when he said this week that the public vote might not be held until early next year. Led by Labour, opposition parties have denounced the plebiscite because, while voting will be compulsory, the outcome, even if it's in favor of opening civil marriage to same-gender couples by a wide margin as expected, will not require Parliament to ratify it. Opposition parties have also denounced the estimated cost of the non-binding public vote of more than $160 million. Writing in The Guardian this week, Labour's Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus called it a disgusting way to treat the hopes and dreams of LGBTI Australians.
A panel of the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals, sitting in Chicago, ruled on July 28th that federal civil rights laws do not protect LGB people. The decision upheld the lower court dismissal of a lawsuit filed by Kimberly Hively, a former part-time instructor at Ivy Tech Community College in South Bend, Indiana, who claimed that she was denied full-time employment because she's an out lesbian. The judges nevertheless lamented the fact that workplace protections guaranteed under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 do not cover sexual orientation. The judges said that change must come from a ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court or through new legislation from Congress. The clearly sympathetic opinion noted that it seems unlikely that our society can continue to condone a legal structure in which employees can be fired, harassed, demeaned, singled out for undesirable tasks, paid lower wages, demoted, passed over for promotions, and otherwise discriminated against solely based on who they date, love, or marry. The ruling agreed with recent court decisions, however, that transgender people are protected under Title VII provisions that outlaw bias based on sex. Hively could ask for a review of her case by a larger panel of the Seventh Circuit, or she could appeal directly to the Supreme Court.
A U.S. federal district court has scheduled hearings on dueling lawsuits involving North Carolina's infamous anti-LGBT law known as HB2. A written order signed this week by a federal magistrate judge says that the trial or trials will begin on November 14th. U.S. District Judge Thomas Schroeder said that he'll decide by then if two lawsuits challenging the controversial law and two defending it should be tried jointly or in some other way. HB2 bans local governments in the state from protecting their LGBT citizens from discrimination and requires trans people to use restrooms and other sex-segregated public facilities based on their birth certificate gender.
Britain is courting controversy by opening a new trade office in Raleigh, North Carolina. MP Liam Fox, the Secretary of State for the newly formed Department for International Trade, made the announcement during a visit to Chicago this week. He says he believes that it will boost UK trade after the country voted to leave the European Union. It's not clear if Fox is aware of the global controversy surrounding HB2, or if he's just being consistent with his poor record on LGBT issues in Parliament. Dr. Fox voted against civil marriage and adoptions equality. He was absent for votes on repeal of the notorious No Promo Homo in Schools law, known as Section 28, the Equal Age of Consent law, and gender recognition legislation.
Meanwhile, North Carolina's Republican Governor Pat McCrory has repeatedly claimed that HB2 is the exact same law as 27 other states. In reality, only Arkansas and Tennessee have similar laws banning local LGBT anti-bias protections. And at a rally for GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump in Winston-Salem this week, McCrory whipped up the crowd with a lame attempt at potty humor.
If any of you need to use the restrooms, and if you have any questions, go to the Philadelphia Convention where all the Democrats are.
Oh, we will, Pat. We will. Later in the program.
12 states will file friend of the court briefs this week supporting the Obama administration's guidelines for the fair treatment of transgender students and workers at federally funded schools and universities. Almost 24 states have challenged the guidelines in 2 separate federal lawsuits. BuzzFeed News reports that the filing in support of those guidelines is being led by Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson. His brief will say that protecting transgender people is strongly in the public interest and that the federal guidance at issue here threatens no imminent harm. Washington State will be joined by California, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington, D.C. Most of them already have their own policies banning anti-trans discrimination. Addressing claims by Texas and the other states challenging the guidelines, Ferguson's brief will say that their allegations of safety risks are unsupported hyperbole. Their claimed loss of federal funding is distant and avoidable, and their claims of massive renovation costs lack support in the law and the record.
In other news, transgender whistleblower and Army private Chelsea Manning has been charged with several administrative violations and placed in solitary confinement at the men's military prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. Officials there are calling it protective custody. According to a press release from her ACLU attorneys this week, the punishment inexplicably appears to be for surviving a suicide attempt in early July. Manning, who began transitioning after her arrest for sharing thousands of classified documents and videos with the WikiLeaks website in 2010, was found guilty and sentenced to 35 years in the military brig at Fort Leavenworth. Her attorneys filed an appeal of the conviction in May. She's been both hailed as a hero and condemned as a traitor. Manning's attorneys say that details about her suicide attempt have been difficult to come by. While she was reportedly still hospitalized after the reported July 5th incident, an unnamed Army official told a CNN reporter that Manning had tried to take her own life. Her ACLU attorneys denounced the leak as a violation of Manning's medical privacy. Manning has been denied full medical care, including hormone therapy, in her efforts to transition. She hasn't even been allowed to adopt the military's grooming standards for women. Chase Strangio is an ACLU staff attorney, a trans man, and a member of Manning's legal team. While Chelsea is suffering the darkest depression she has experienced since her arrest, he said, the government is taking actions to punish her for that pain.
And finally, on a lighter note, A man in the southern U.S. recently went to his local Walmart to buy oil to lubricate his handgun. In a YouTube video that's been viewed by more than 3 million people, he sheepishly discovers, after he gets the product home, that the gun oil H2O is a popular anal lubricant favored by gay men. Oops.
That's News Wrap for the week ending July 30th, 2016. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm John Dyer V.
It was not all rosy at the U.S. Democratic Party's National Convention in Philadelphia, July 25th through 29th, but it was certainly chock full of rainbows. The presidential nominating event boasted a record number of LGBT delegates, 11.5%, and a party platform that is pro-LGBT from top to bottom, although there was some controversy over the exclusion of the letter Q. Some LGBT participants were among the supporters of Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who campaigned against party favorite Hillary Clinton for the nomination. Their protests over the process occasionally disrupted many pro-LGBT speeches. Overall, the Democrats' convention painted a hopeful picture of the country that stood in stark contrast to the apocalyptic portrait offered by the Republicans the week before. Many speakers stressed the need to solidify the legacy of Barack Obama through the election of Hillary Clinton to keep the country on a steady and relatively progressive path, including the first transgender person to speak at a major party convention.
My name is Sarah McBride, and I am a proud transgender American. Four years ago, I came out as transgender while serving as student body president in college. At the time, I was scared. I worried that my dreams and my identity were mutually exclusive. Since then, though, I've seen that change is possible. I witnessed history interning at the White House and helping my home state of Delaware pass protections for transgender people. But despite our progress, so much work remains. Will we be a nation where there's only one way to love, only one way to look, and only one way to live? Or will we be a nation where everyone has the freedom to live openly and equally, a nation that's stronger together? That is the question in this election. Today in America, LGBTQ people are still targeted by hate that lives in both laws and in hearts. Many still struggle just to get by. But I believe that tomorrow can be different. Tomorrow we can be respected and protected, especially if Hillary Clinton is our president. And that's why I'm proud to stand here and say that I'm with her.
My name is Daniel Griffin, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I serve as a co-founder of Thrive SS. Together with more than 1 million Americans, I'm living with HIV. When the HIV/AIDS epidemic first emerged in the 1980s, I wasn't born yet. It was a mysterious virus, then a deadly one too. It seemed to be picking off gay men one by one, especially Black and Latino. The community spoke out so that policymakers would take notice. And while some ignored their voices, Hillary Clinton listened. She advocated for the increased funding for prevention and research as First Lady, and then worked to increase the funding in the Senate. As Secretary of State, Hillary helped to ensure that 6.7 million people around the world got access to antiretroviral therapy. And she cracked down on the stigma around the virus and helped lift the travel ban with the help of the Congressional Black Caucus, which prevented people with HIV/AIDS from entering our country. As a result of her work and the work of so many others, many who are here tonight, the number of new HIV diagnoses are on the decline. In the United States, by nearly 20% over the last decade for certain populations. And who are most at risk? Young, gay, black men. Men like me. In fact, 1 in 2 gay black men will be diagnosed with HIV in their lifetime if current rates continue. And if we have enough data, I'm sure black transgender women are more at risk too. So, what do we do to fight HIV/AIDS today? We invest in research and education. We expand treatment and prevention. And we elect Hillary Clinton.
I'm Tina Kotek, Vice Chair of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee and Speaker of the House from the great state of Oregon. As the first lesbian speaker of any state house in our nation, I have personally witnessed the tremendous progress towards equality and justice for the LGBTQ community. We have come so far, and we cannot go back. We need leaders like Hillary Clinton who will stand up to the bullies who threaten fairness and equality. Hillary Clinton is our answer to intolerance and fear. And I have her back because I know she stands with all of us.
Former Marine Kristen Kavanaugh joined the Clinton Love Fest.
I trust Hillary Clinton to be Commander in Chief. The military is defined by discipline, leadership, integrity. Those are the qualities that drew me to serve. And those are the very qualities that Donald Trump lacks. This election isn't just about Donald Trump's judgment. It's about our own. Our troops, our nation, our world cannot afford for us to get this wrong.
There were some initial concerns about Clinton vice presidential pick Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, a moderate Democrat with a Jesuit background. However, Kaine has a high rating from the Human Rights Campaign, and California Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom reminded the delegates just how bad Kaine's counterpart is.
While it was refreshing to finally see an openly gay man speak at a Republican convention, it doesn't remove the stain of selecting Mike Pence, America's most anti-LGBT governor. Pence has supported overt discrimination. He's even advocated for diverting taxpayer dollars to so-called conversion therapy. Make no mistake, conversion therapy is not about praying away the gay. It's an emotional torture against our most innocent citizens, our children. Telling them that to live, they must lie. Lie about who they are and lie about who they love. That is fundamentally un-American.
Famous folks and heavy hitters came out in force for Clinton.
My dream was to play in the NBA and live my authentic life as a proud gay man at the same time.
Jason Collins became the first openly gay player in the NBA.
I was able to accomplish both of those goals because of the people who have supported me throughout my life. Before I came out to the world on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I came out privately to the Clinton family. I've known their family for almost 20 years. I knew that they would accept me for who I was and that they would help pave a path for others to do the same. They knew that my sexual orientation made no difference in my ability to play basketball. Just as someone's gender makes no difference in his or her ability to lead our nation. Hillary has defended the LGBT community for years, from co-sponsoring the Matthew Shepard Hate Crimes Prevention Act to helping pass the first ever UN resolution on LGBT human rights, to making sure transgender individuals' passports could reflect their true gender. As both an African American and a member of the LGBT community, the choice for continued progress is clear. This November, we must elect Hillary Clinton as our next president.
The Hillary Clinton that I first got to know as a closeted kid growing up in Arkansas has always been willing to stand up for the voiceless. And she's made fighting for equality a cornerstone of her campaign.
Chad Griffin leads the human rights campaign.
While Donald Trump has promised to legalize Kim Davis-style discrimination in all 50 states, Hillary Clinton has promised to sign the Equality Act into law. And long before Donald Trump struggled to read the letters LGBTQ off a teleprompter last week, Hillary Clinton stood before the United Nations and boldly declared that gay rights are human rights and human rights are gay rights. And I want to remind Donald Trump, the LGBTQ community is as diverse as the fabric of our nation. We are Muslim. We are Jewish. We are women. We are black, white, and Latino. We are immigrants, and we are people with disabilities. And when you attack one of us, you are attacking all of us. And that, my friends, is why together we are all with her.
One of the most moving speeches at the Democratic National Convention came from Christine Linenen, the still grief-stricken mother of one of the people murdered at the Pulse massacre in Orlando, Florida.
It takes about 5 minutes for a church bell to ring 49 times. I know this because last month, my son Christopher, his boyfriend Juan, and 47 others were murdered at a club in Orlando. Christopher was my only child. As I used to tell him, you can't do better than perfect. He had so many friends, two of whom are here tonight representing hundreds and hundreds more. All his life, he brought people together. In high school, he won the Anne Frank Humanitarian Award for starting the Gay Straight Alliance. Christopher's paternal grandparents met and fell in love in a Japanese internment camp. So it was in his DNA that love always trumps hate. Christopher was a big Hillary supporter. That's why I'm here, so that I can tell you about the day he was born. At the time, I was a Michigan State Trooper. When I went into labor, the hospital put my off-duty gun in a safe. I didn't argue. I know common sense gun policies save lives. The weapon that murdered my son fires 30 rounds in 1 minute. I'm glad common sense gun policy was in place the day Christopher was born. But where was that common sense the day he died? I never want you to ask that question about your child. That's why I support Hillary Clinton.
That was Christine Linenen, whose son Christopher was killed at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. Another prominent mom absolutely brought the convention house down. First Lady Michelle Obama.
I am here tonight because in this election, there is only one person who I believe is truly qualified to be President of the United States, and that is our friend Hillary Clinton. Someone who understands that the issues a president faces are not black and white and cannot be boiled down to 140 characters. Look, because when you have the nuclear codes at your fingertips and the military in your command, you can't make snap decisions. You can't have a thin skin or a tendency to lash out. You need to be steady and measured and well-informed. And when crisis hits, we don't turn against each other. No, we listen to each other. We lean on each other because we are always stronger together. And I am here tonight because I know that that is the kind of president that Hillary Clinton will be. And that's why in this election, I'm with her. I wake up every morning in a house that was built by slaves. And I watch my daughters, two beautiful, intelligent black young women, playing with their dogs on the White House lawn. And because of Hillary Clinton, my daughters and all our sons and daughters now take for granted that a woman can be President of the United States. Don't let anyone ever tell you that this country isn't great, that somehow we need to make it great again, because this right now is the greatest country on earth.
That was First Lady Michelle Obama addressing the Democratic National Convention this week in Philadelphia. Election Day in the U.S. is November 8th. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. John Dyer V and Tanya Kane Perry contributed program material this week, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. Some of the music you heard came from the Broadway musical Little Abner, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener supporters, for making this show possible. Email tworadio@aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Alicia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WMPG Portland, Maine, Wild Planet Radio Portland, Oregon, MVS Radio Amsterdam, the Netherlands, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.